भक्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट 10 और but then I got the news that it's on the 10th. Anyway, it's a wonderful opportunity to have such a wonderful verse to discuss about. And also, it's always so nice to be here in New Dwarka Dham. And this is, I think, in America, this is one of the most vibrant temple, if not the most vibrant temple, with so many wonderful devotees. And Srila Prabhupada also spent so much time here. This place was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. He translated Chaitanya Charitamrita here and spent a lot of time translating his books here. Bhavat Bidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutaha Swayam Bibho Tirthikurvanti Tirthani Swantaha Sthena Gadabhrita. Bhavad Vidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Bibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrita. Bhavad Vidha Bhagavatas Tirthabhuta Swayam Bibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrita. Bhavad Vidha Bhagavatas Tirthabhuta Swayam Bibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrita. Bhagavidha Bhagavata Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrita. Bhavad Vidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrita. Bhavad Vidha Bhagavata Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrita. Bhagavad Vidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrita. Matajis, భవద్విధా భాగవత తీర్థభూత స్వయం విభో తీర్థీకూర్వంతి తీర్థాని స్వాంతస్థేనా గదాకృత భవద్విధా భాగవత తీర్థభూత స్వయం విభో తీర్థీకూర్వంతి తీర్థాని స్వాంతస్థేనా గదాకృత భవత్ యువర్ గుడ్ సెల్ఫ్ విధా లైక్ భాగవత డివోటీస్ తీర్థ ద హోలీ ప్లేసెస్ ఆఫ్ పిల్గ్రిమేజ్ భూత కన్వర్టెడ్ ఇన్ టు స్వయం పర్సనలీ విభో ఓ పవర్ఫుల్ వన్ తీర్థి కుర్వంతి మేక్ యు ఇంటు యువర్ హోలీ ప్లేస్ ఆఫ్ పిల్గ్రిమేజ్ తీర్థాని ద హోలీ ప్లేసెస్ స్వ అంతస్థేన హ్యావింగ్ బీన్ సిచ్యువేటెడ్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్ గదాభృత ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Please repeat after me. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by His diverse potencies everywhere. Just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space, similarly the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by His unalloyed devotees like Vidura. Just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of human being by an atmosphere surcharged with presence of Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places. Take lessons from them. Try to apply such instructions in practical life and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Jamuna or to visit the temples situated on those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action and utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vasudev heard from Narad and then he chanted in writing. Sukadev Goswami studied from his father and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their action, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage. And the holy places are worth the name only on their account. such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, and what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adapt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of the holy place. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chokshurun Militang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Sthapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Vidura left home when the battle of Kurukshetra became inevitable. Duryodhana was literally the black sheep of the Kuru dynasty. As a matter of fact, when Duryodhana was born, Vidura saw all inauspicious signs and he realized that this one would become the cause of the destruction of the family. So he actually suggested to Dhritarashtra, get rid of him. But Dhritarashtra was so attached to his son, he could not. And not only that, Dhritarashtra always supported Duryodhana. He was not Prabhupada said, Dhritarashtra was not only blind by his eyes, he was also spiritually blind. And Vidura was giving him good advices all the time, but he couldn't take that. Due to Dhritarashtra's intense affection for his sons, especially Duryodhana, he just supported him all the way, no matter how nefarious, how abominable his activities were, his plans were. Dhritarashtra knew that Duryodhana was planning to burn them alive, burn the Pandavas alive. Duryodhana considered the Pandavas to be his biggest impediment in the course of his gaining the kingdom. And so he planned to burn them alive along with the mother. So you can see how mean and degraded these demoniac individuals can be. Vidura got to know that, and Vidura warned the Pandavas, especially Yudhishthira Maharaj, speaking in a mlecha language, that this was going to happen. They're inviting you to stay in a very, very nicely built palace in a very beautiful place called Varunavat, but be careful. And this language only Vidura knew and Yudhishthira Maharaj knew. No one else could understand that. And not only that, later on Vidura actually sent a tunnel digger to dig a tunnel all the way from the palace where they were supposed to live, out of the palace, far away in the middle of a jungle. Vidura had always been the well-wisher of the Pandavas. And that's the nature of a devotee. The devotees always side with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. And when they saw, in spite of all the effort to stop the war, Battle of Kurukshetra, everyone tried. Vidura, to begin with, tried even Gandhari tried, Vasudev tried, Jaimini Rishi came and tried to tell Duryodhan not to get into this family feud, rather give the kingdom back to the Pandavas, their share, give it back. Finally Krishna came and he proposed, okay fine, you don't have to give them the half the kingdom that actually belongs to them. That also, like Dhritarashtra, another blind action of Dhritarashtra, when it became inevitable that he'll have to accept the Pandavas' claim and gave them a place which was actually a barren desert. That's the thing that he gave them. Okay. But that's another thing about the saintly personalities or pious individuals. Wherever they go, that place flourishes. So although it was a barren piece of land, due to Pandava's presence, the place became extremely opulent and extremely flourishing. My Danav was indebted to Arjun, the architect of the demons. The architect of the demigods is Vishwakarma and the architect of the demons is Mayadhanav. Mayadhanav was saved when Khandava forest was being burnt for the sake of Agnidev. And so Mayadhanav became indebted to the Pandavas, especially to Arjuna. And he assured them that whenever you need me, any help from me, please call me, I'll come and do it. And it's Maidana who actually built the city, Indraprastha. And Duryodhan became so envious seeing the opulence of that place and the prosperity of that place. That's what also happened. Like Pandava shifted there, then all the exalted Brahmanas and all the Vaishyas and everyone started to shift there. And as a result of that, the place became extremely flourishing. And not only that, Duryodhan was insulted. Maidanav actually built that palace, mainly the assembly hall, in such a way that if a untruthful person, if a sinful person came there, he would see everything in the reverse order. Like he would say the land as water, and water as land. And as a result of that, Duryodhan's nature became exposed. Like where it was land, Duryodhan lifted his cloth to as if it was water, he tried to walk there. And where it was water, he saw it as a land, and he walked in there and got completely drenched. And seeing his condition, Draupadi laughed. Yudhishthira Maharaj actually told Draupadi, no, please don't do that. But Duryodhan couldn't bear that insult and humiliation. And so the result was that game of dice, the treacherous game of dice which was orchestrated by Shakuni, Duryodhan's uncle, maternal uncle. And Pandavas lost everything in that game. Yudhishthira Maharaj, she lost everything, including Draupadi. And anyway, so ultimately it was settled that the last game was that if the Pandavas could win, then they would get the kingdom back. But if they lose, then they have to go to exile in the forest for 14 years, 12 years, and 1 year in incognito. And the condition was, within that 1 year of incognito, if anyone could recognize any one of them, then they would that then this condition would repeat. Another 12 years of exile and 1 year incognito. But by Krishna's mercy, nobody could recognize them in that last year of their exile. And they came back. And when they claimed their kingdom, Duryodhana refused. No, I'm not going to give it to you. He was so confident that he's bound to win the battle. Because for 13 years the Pandavas were away, living in forest. And he had, within that time, he actually spread his influence all over. He brought all the kings under his control. And Pandavas had only a few, their close allies. So Duryodhana thought that, how are they going to win that battle? I'm bound to win that battle. I have Bhishma, who is practically immortal. Drona, another person who is practically immortal. Karna, who is the greatest archer of all time, according to his calculation. Ashwatthama, another immortal personality. So how could he possibly lose the battle? And that's why he was so confident. Finally, Krishna came and said, okay, you don't have to give them their kingdom. Just give them 5 villages. They are Kshatriyas, they need some land to rule over. Because Kshatriyas, duty, their dharma is to rule. So give them 5 villages. But what was Duryodhana's response to that? Without a battle, I'm not going to give the land the size of the tip of a needle. So at that time, actually, Vidura decided to leave. When the battle of Kurukshetra took place, he was away. He was traveling, and he, by that time, actually, he returned after Krishna left the planet. He got the news from Uddhava that Krishna has left, along with the entire Jadu dynasty, all the members of the Jadu dynasty. And Krishna instructed him before leaving, because Krishna left Vidura behind so that Krishna consciousness could continue. And Vidura asked Uddhava, please, you tell me what Krishna instructed you. So he didn't want to transgress the etiquette, because Vidura was superior, senior to him. So he felt that he is not in a position to instruct him. So he directed him to Maitreya Rishi. So that has been very nicely described, Vidura Maitreya Sambad, the 3rd canto, 5th chapter. So Vidura, then after that, he just came back to Hastinapur. And here, all the members of the family just came running to meet him. And Yudhishthir Maharaj was asking him that while you are traveling on the surface of the earth, how did you maintain your livelihood? At which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? And after saying that, to which holy places he had visited, he is making this statement. Actually, the purpose, the reason why you go to the holy places, to sanctify the holy places. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. You sanctify the holy places. The holy places become holy because of your presence. The holy places are holy because the Lord performs His pastimes in those places. The importance of those places actually are there when the Lord comes and performs His pastimes. At that time, everybody gets an opportunity to see the Lord with a mundane vision. But then the Lord withdraws His pastimes. Aprakat Leela. And when He withdraws, then it's not possible to see Him. Only those who are pure devotees, they can see. Chaitanya Charitamrita says about Navadvip, Mayapur, Addapiho Nitya Lila Kare Gaura Ray Kono Kono Bhagyobane Dekhibare Pay. Still now, the eternal pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going on. But only some fortunate souls can see that. Only some fortunate souls can see that. Whereas a pure devotee of the Lord sees Him all the time in their hearts. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. The devotee's eyes has been anointed with the mascara of love. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Bilokayanti. The saintly personalities, the pure devotees of the Lord, see the Lord constantly, all the time, in their hearts. Shanta, Sadaiva, Sadaiva, constantly, all the time. Hridayeshu, in their hearts, Bilokayanti, sees. Yang Shyamasundaram Achinta Gunaswarupam. They see His transcendental Shyamsundar form, which is a source of Achinta, inconceivable transcendental qualities. So they see the Lord Himself. They see the Lord with His, all His transcendental potencies. Therefore, it can be said that these saintly personalities, as Yudhishthira Maharaj is pointing out, you are actually the moving tirthas. Wherever you go, you purify that place, turn that into your inter-spiritual world due to the presence of the Lord in your heart. When Srila Prabhupada was in America, and sometimes Prabhupada's health was not so good, so Prabhupada wrote to one of his godbrothers, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, that what will happen if I leave my body in the West, away from India, away from the Holy Dham? Sridhar Maharaj's reply to Prabhupada was that wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So, of course, eventually Prabhupada did leave his body in Vrindavan in a most glorious way. So that is the position of a pure devotee. Another consideration here is, Prabhupada is saying in the purport that these devotees, these pure devotees, they see the Lord everywhere. Not only in their hearts, but they sthabar jangam dakhe, na dakhe tar murti, sarvatra sphuray tar ishtadev sphurti. a pure devotee sees the sthavar and jangam, moving and non-moving things, animate and inanimate objects, living entities and inert objects. Sthavar jangam, but they don't see those objects as such. Sarvatra sphurayatar ishtadev sphurti. Everywhere he sees his worshipable Lord. So that is the sign of a Uttamadhikari devotee. Uttamadhikari is like seeing the Lord everywhere. Srila Rupa Goswami gives the definition of three types of devotees: Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttam. The Kanishtha is, he accepts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he has his devotion to the Lord, but he doesn't recognize his devotees. He sees the Lord, accepts the Lord's supreme position, but he doesn't recognize his devotees. The second class devotee is he who has love for the Lord, love for Krishna, friendship for his devotees, compassion for the innocent, and disregard for the offenders. Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu visatsucha prema maitri kripa upekha jakaruti sa madhama. The Madhyamadhikari devotees, identity is, or nature is, that yes, he has love for the Lord and he has friendship for the devotees of the Lord. He has compassion for the innocent, and he has his disregard. He avoids the non-devotees. It has been pointed out, it's actually Krishna's love that is projected onto different individuals in different ways. It's his love for Krishna is projected in the form of friendship to the devotees of Krishna. It's his love for Krishna is projected on the innocent as compassion. He sees that these people do not have Krishna, so let me give them Krishna. And those who are offenders, love is reflected on them. Okay, I don't have anything to do with you. But the Uttamadhikari is Sarva Bhuteshu Japashet Bhagavad Bhavam Atmanaha. He sees everybody as the pure devotees of the Lord. So here we see the difference. A Kanishtha Adhikari thinks that he is the only devotee and there is no other devotee. I am the only devotee. Krishna is God and I am Krishna's only devotee. Madhyamadhikari recognizes who is devotee, who is innocent, who is offensive. And the Uttamadhikari sees that everyone is a devotee. Only he couldn't become a devotee. Like Prabodhananda Saraswati, a very intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He is saying, Banchitoshmi, 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 Nashangshayo, Vishya Gaura Rashi Magnam, Sparsham Api Magna Bhavet. I have been deprived, I have been deprived, I have been deprived. The whole world has been inundated with the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaura Rashi Magnam. The love of Krishna, the Braja Prem that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute. The whole world has been inundated, but I couldn't even get the touch of it. also we can say Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Purisher ki tvita moisha logishto. I am more fallen than a worm in the stool. Jagai madhai hoite moisha papishto. I am more sinful than jagai and madhai. So that's the thing, like a neophyte devotee thinks that he is the only devotee and no one else is devotee. Madhyamadhikari recognizes the devotees, and Uttamadhikari sees everyone else is a devotee, only he couldn't become a devotee. So that's why it's very difficult to recognize a pure devotee. That is very difficult because their activities are so, especially the first class devotees, their activities are so profound that often it appears as if they're mad people. They're behaving like roti, hasuti, unmadava nrittati lokobhajya. That's the activity of a pure devotee. Sometimes he cries, he laughs, he dances, nrittati, unmadavat, like a madman, without any consideration for external world. It's very, very difficult to recognize such a person, pure devotees. Another thing Prabhupada is pointing out, that a pure devotee cannot preach. When he sees that everyone else has become a devotee, only he couldn't become a devotee, how is he going to preach? Therefore, Uttamadhikari has to come down to the second class platform, Madhyamadhikar platform, in order to preach. Like we see, Prabhupada, he came down from that Uttam platform in order to preach. So, it's such a wonderful verse, giving us a clear understanding of what Krishna consciousness is, how exalted the position of a pure devotee is, why their position is so exalted. Because Krishna conscious, actually Prabhupada used that expression, it's such an apt expression in English. Krishna consciousness. There are two domains, material and spiritual. The difference between these two is when we put ourselves in the center, when we are always self-conscious, due to our false ego, that is material. When I am the center, that is material. Whereas when Krishna is the center, that is spiritual. Seeing everything in the light of Krishna, Krishna consciousness, being tuned into Krishna's consciousness. So that is the position of a pure devotee. He is Krishna conscious. His consciousness is not flowing in this direction. And this direction means, as Krishna is pointing out in Bhagavad Gita, dhayate vishayan pungsha sangaste shupajayate. And the consciousness through the senses run towards the objects of the senses. And the result is sangaste shupajayate, association with the objects of the senses. And that leads to kama, lust, desire to enjoy those objects of our senses. The favorable one or pleasing, the things that are meant or are conducive to our sense gratification, we become attached to that and we want to exploit that, we want to enjoy that. Come. that leads to krodha, anger. Because the calm is frustrated, then automatically anger develops. And krodha bhavati sanmoha. Due to anger, one becomes bewildered. Sanmoha smriti vibhrama. Due to bewilderment, he loses his memory. And smriti bhrangshat buddhinasha. As a result of losing his memory, he loses his intelligence and buddhinashat pranashati. Due to the loss of intelligence, he is doomed. So that is the result of allowing our consciousness to run towards this material nature through the mind. Mind to the senses, objects of the senses, and entanglement in the material nature for sense gratification. On the other hand, there is Krishna consciousness. The consciousness is withdrawn from this and projected onto Krishna. And that leads automatically to recognize Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in relation to that, we see our position as His eternal servants. And the natural tendency is to serve. Loving, devotional service. It's love that unites us with Krishna and naturally leads to the point of rendering service unto Him as an expression of our love. And when that happens, that is how it has been described. He carries the Lord in his heart, and wherever he goes, that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. And Srila Prabhupada warned us through this purport that don't go to a place of pilgrimage just to have a bath in the water, on the holy river. Those who go to take bath in the holy places, just to take bath without recognizing the presence of the exalted spiritual personalities and take advantage of their association, their condition is like Saiva Gokhara. Their situation is like cows and asses. So, the purpose of going to the holy places should be to have the association of the devotees and hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from them. So, and the wonderful thing is, Srila Prabhupada has created holy places everywhere, all over the world. ISKCON temples are actually the holy places. The presence of the devotees make these tirthas. Anybody who comes to a temple gets to, not only gets to see Krishna, gets to meet the devotees, get an opportunity to get to hear about Krishna, get an opportunity to become devotees of Krishna. So that is Srila Prabhupada's wonderful contribution to this world. He created holy places all over the world. And anyone can take advantage of that holy place. His books are there. Prabhupada is also pointing out that kirtan, chanting the holy name, is manifested in the form of writing. Like he is saying, Vasudev is... Mahamuni Vasudev heard from Narada and then he chanted in writing kirtan. He chanted. His chanting is his writing. Sukadev Goswami got it from his father, Vasudev, and he narrated it to Parikshit Maharaj and those who were present there, like Suta Goswami. And Shaunaka Rishi heard from Suta Goswami. So this is how this knowledge is distributed, creating the spiritual atmosphere wherever the saintly personalities go. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. Wonderful class, as always. So my question is this. Does the Uttama Adhikari have the ability to shift gears at will, so to speak? And the reason I ask that is because according to the descriptions of the scriptures, it seems like Prabhupada was an Uttama Adhikari. According to the opinion of the closest thing we have to a community of experts, his god brothers, it seems like they accepted him as an Uttama Adhikari. You quoted Sridhar Swami as having said that Prabhupada, wherever he was, was Vrindavan. Yet we see that Prabhupada preached like anything, which is the activity of somebody who's a Majjhimadhikari. So how do we understand that?
Yeah. You see, they recognize his position as Uttamadhikari, but at the same time recognize that he has come down to the Madhyamadhikar platform to preach. Because the description of Uttamadhikari, roti, hashati, unmadava nrittati, Prabhupada was not doing that. Prabhupada was not displaying his ecstatic symptoms. He was kind of restraining those ecstasy in order to preach. That's the meaning of coming down to the Madhyamadhikar platform.
Although sometimes he couldn't restrain himself.
And he did, yeah, sometimes, yeah. He couldn't, I mean, he tried his best to conceal those, to hide those exalted ecstasies, but sometimes he could not, overwhelmed with love for Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Uttama Adhikari, he everyone like as devotee, everyone as devotee, but can he see difference from Madhyama and Kanishta?
Yes, from Madhyam one can become Uttam. Yes, sure. Like gradually, by practicing Krishna consciousness, one achieves his perfection. From neophyte or Kanishta Adhikar, he comes to the Uttam Adhikar platform. I'm sorry, Madhyam Adhikar. And then from there he comes to Uttam Adhikar. Because this process of Krishna consciousness is actually the process of making pure devotees. So when one stays in the movement, following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, yes, eventually he'll become a pure devotee. Actually, at one time, Srila Prabhupada said that all the devotees of ISKCON are pure devotees. And devotees were surprised. And they questioned Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, everyone in ISKCON is pure devotees, even the new bhakta who joined the other day. Prabhupada said, yes. It's like green mango and ripe mango. The mango may be green, but if it stays in the tree, then in course of time it will become ripe. So somebody may be a new bhakta today, but if he stays in ISKCON practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, in due course of time he would become a pure devotee. So ISKCON is the place of, ISKCON is the factory for manufacturing pure devotees. Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very insightful class. Fulfilling, satisfying. In regard to the last question and answer, it should be understood that because one grows to a position of going from Kanishta to Madhyam, and even from Madhyam almost getting close to Uttama, these are not fixed positions if one commits offenses against devotees or against the Supreme Lord. Those positions,
true,
which appear to be fixed, can gradually be the qualities that give them that, they can be withdrawn by the Supreme Lord.
Very good
powers
point.
That also go with that can be withdrawn. So no one should think that his position is, as we say, cinched. It's good forever. It's good forever, as you just mentioned, if one follows all of the rules and regulations and does not commit offenses. And if he does commit offenses, he does the necessary purification, such as apologizing, such as begging forgiveness, taking the feet, asking if he can do something to make it up to him. In other words, is a genuine apology, then yes, everything remains status quo at that point. Mm-hmm. But the main point is that we should always feel that there's danger at every step.
Mm. Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. That's a very nice point, yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay, so as Subhas Prabhu announced that today there is a special day for celebrating the grain taking ceremony for Madhuri Radhika Dasi. So Vedic culture is a culture of purification. That process of purification is called sanskar. As you all know, even that before the child is conceived, there is the process of purification, garbhadan sanskar. Then the child is born, jatakaran sanskar. In this way, there are sanskars throughout the life. Another sanskar is grain taking samskar. That means taking Krishna Prasad, and take Krishna Prasad and nothing else. That takes place when one is 6 months old. And another consideration is when the teeth start to come out. Then the child is ready to take grains. And so Madhuri is 6 months old now. Radhamayini, 6 months old. So she is getting grains, grain in the form of Mahaprasad. And so she will take grains, and then she will display her propensity. Whether she will go for Srimad Bhagavatam, or whether she will go for Lakshmi Devi, whether she will go for Krishna, or whether she will go for Lakshmi Devi. So that's a big test. And I'll request Subhas Prabhu, the temple president, and Nirantar Prabhu, who is Radha Mohini's Shiksha Guru, to come and also give grains to the baby. All right. It's coming. Don't worry. You'll get it soon.
By the way, those of you that don't know, this is Sri Golok and Radha Mohini. They're the mother and father. And Radha Mohini is the daughter of Dwarkadish Prabhu and Lilavati. Yes. Long time members of the Los Angeles temple. So this is a continuation, another generation of devotees in New Dwarkadham.
Okay. You make it so cozy, then she'll lie down, you know. You want to do that before? How do you do it here? Like before the test or before? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we do it first.
Yeah. So in this ceremony, we lay down Madhuri Radhika, and then she will go either for the Srimad Bhagavatam or for the Lakshmi. So we kind of like encourage her. She'll take a look at it.
When
Sri Goloka let him look at it.
To each other, she may go for. She may go for both.
Oh, yeah. Haribo! Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. She immediately went for the Bhagavatam.
So
now we'll have.
Okay.
Bhakti Chura Maharaj feed her the first grains.
Hari Bol.
Oh.
She loves it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare. No, Shabbas Prabhu and Nirantar Prabhu. Okay. Now the second round.
Hari Bol.
Where's the spoon?
Yeah, here, because it's small, so I think it's outside.
This is really teeny. Okay, Hari Bol. Hari Krishna. Hari Krishna.
Hari Krishna. Hari Krishna.
Hari Bol.
Okay.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama